and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Today on the show, we've got some audio from Bill Snyder last night at Topeka Cat Packers event. Spoke very highly of Jesse Ertz. You'll hear that at 4:40 in the open. Confirmed something about the Corey Sutton situation that I think we really knew all along, but I think it was important to hear it last night from Bill Snyder, so stay tuned for that. One more thought on Bob Stoops in K-State at 5:10. We have the match game at 5:25. He can't be serious at 5:50. We'll sprinkle some fun in there as well because it is a Friday. The game KMAN is where you can find us on Twitter. And, of course, the phone number, 537-1350, toll-free 866-776-1350. I was halfway expecting new music today because you tweeted out something earlier today that should be our new Friday music.
Well, I thought that should be a group decision, but I mean, I play the music anyway, Friday or no Friday.
Huh. Okay.
I've played it a couple times here.
What is it?
Glorious. It's a wrestling theme, but it's also the Nashville Predators. It's not their goal song, but it's like their period song when they start a new period.
Oh, okay. Can you pull it up real quick?
Yeah, I can. Just give me a second.
Okay. How am I supposed to kill time until we do that? Help me out here. Get off your phone. Get off Twitter.
All right.
We got to kill time here until Mitch. We can have a vote right here on the air if we want to keep the game music or if we want to go to this.
Glorious.
Oh.
No, I won't give in. I won't give in till I'm victorious.
I'm on board.
Are we? Just give me the pitch. Like, what's the pitch here? I need you to sell me on it because right now I'm iffy. Sell me on this being the Friday music. I do
so
like this.
Catchy.
I like the guitar riff.
Glorious. No, I won't give in.
But what is it? Just glorious because it's Friday? Is that the significance?
Oh yeah,
here?
Friday's always glorious, but it's a song that really gets you pumped up, man. It's
it
got
does.
The beat to it. The lyrics are strong. They're not complicated, but they're strong. You can sing along to it. It's not confusing.
All right. Well, I guess we're a democracy here.
It comes
so.
Back in.
Okay, I get the point.
See,
you want to vote this? All those in favor of changing the Friday music say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right, well, then I guess it's settled.
We can give it a try next week. If it doesn't work out, we can always go back.
Okay. All right. Good news is I'll probably forget about it until the moment that it comes on Friday. So
you hear the piano come in? What
yeah.
Is this? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I'll be confused for a good solid 3 or 4 seconds, and then we'll roll on after that. Okay. We also have, I forgot to mention, some Phil Steele information because his magazine is out. We'll let you know here in the opening segment what he thinks in general of K-State. But I did feel like this was important to get to. I heard this audio last night, and this is going to be courtesy of 580 WIBW when we play this here. But in reference to the Corey Sutton situation, Bill Snyder's comments, he had already issued an apology, but he was talking with some reporters last night at the Topeka Cat Packers event and really confirmed, I think, what most of us assumed, that he had just gotten to the point where he essentially lost his cool, lost his temper when he had gone ahead and made the comments about the drug testing and called Kellis a yokel and all that stuff that happened at the Cat Packer event in Kansas City. So here was an extension, really, of his apology from last night.
You know, I got caught in one of these things right here and, you know, and some irritating questions. And, I mean, it was my mistake, and I lost my composure, which I try to get our players not to under such circumstance or similar circumstances. But I did, so be it. So that's my mistake. I'll never do it again.
You do one mistake.
Well, that's not one I wanted to make.
Yeah.
For a variety of reasons. So one of these days when I start walking away from you guys, you'll understand.
Well, I for one appreciate the way that he has handled it ever since the comments did happen. Part of the reason I bring this up is because I just want to make sure that we're hitting both sides of this. A lot of times in scenarios like this, situations like this, whoever it is that has everybody riled up will just get beat over the head when it happens. And then if there's an apology, some kind of correction, whatever, you never hear as much about it. So I do think it's important to come in and recognize, hey, Bill Snyder's handled this pretty well since it happened and has really, I think, just been a man about the whole thing and been open, transparent, admitted to a mistake right there. And I'll start with that I appreciate hearing that from him last night. Helped also that Kevin Haskin was one of the guys asking questions. I know they have a very good rapport and relationship. He's been a beat writer for a long time, and he's going to join us next segment, by the way, to talk about this and Bob Stoops and everything that has been happening. So it was a good setting. It was probably just a better scenario all the way around than what had happened, the perfect storm that was created that Thursday last week in Kansas City. But I think this was a nice step, nice bow to put on this whole thing.
There is something to be said about the value of actually having an audio apology versus a statement, because there, I think that a lot of people see a statement apology and do not take it with the same level of being genuine as something that is actually on camera or an audio or something like that. And I am certainly not saying that that his statement apology wasn't genuine, but I think that this goes further to mend that bridge and to put all of this to bed with him actually being in front of the camera and saying these things.
Well, I just like that both sides here have come out, and since the heat of the moment when they both, now we really have confirmation, they both lost their cool and both, I think, went with lower blows than what they were really intending. The Slave Master comment from Corey Sutton, the drug testing comments from Bill Snyder, they both admitted that they probably should not have done that. So now we've kind of come to this place where Corey Sutton got what he wants. He's transferred. He's on down the road. Not going to have to worry about that anymore. K-State, Bill Snyder, obviously move on, headed towards the season, and it seems like everybody is okay. Just has the feeling like, and this will happen sometimes, even this is not a perfect analogy because I'm talking about fighting with a friend here. You get in a fight with a friend. You know, sometimes you know them so well, in the heat of the moment, you can go with a low blow that you know is a low blow, that you know is going to really bring that record scratch to bring everything to a screeching halt. And then at the end, you take a step back, you cool off, and you can come back and be a man and say, look, I shouldn't have done that. It's my bad. Move on. And things are okay. That seems to me basically what happened here. It's a little bit different because don't think they're going to be writing each other Christmas cards, you know, moving forward at this point. But in the end, I don't think there's all that much ill will held on either side, I wouldn't think.
No, I don't think so. And both of them do not have time in their schedules to hold that grudge. I mean, you're talking about K-State getting closer and closer to a very important season, maybe even more important than most seasons, just because of the Bill Snyder factor and the fact that we don't know how much longer he's going to be coach. And then Corey Sutton, a guy that's a very talented wide receiver that has his entire career still in front of him. I mean, there's just no reason and no time and no energy for either of these two men to actually hold that against each other and try to drag this out any longer than it's already gone.
It happens, and it happened to me. A specific moment comes to mind. It's politics that'll get you these days, man. You get worked up in a politics argument with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You drop in something that you know is a low blow. You gotta come back with your tail tucked between your legs. And it may or may not have happened to
it's
me.
It's happened.
May or may not have happened to me. You said it's happened to you, too?
Well, yeah, no. I mean, I think that maybe not necessarily politically as much, but it happens to us in the sports office. We have definitely insulted each other in the sports
That's
office
probably true.
Before we come out here and act like we're best friends.
Is that true, Mitch? Have we done that?
Is that true?
Now, I'm not saying that we have a relationship that's similar to what Mike and Mike have off the air at ESPN right now, where as soon as the mics are turned off,
they hate each other.
They hate each other and walk away. But, you know, we have to work through differences of opinions to try to put something together that we can talk about on the show. And I think that generally it actually works as some sort of a therapy to do the show and be more cordial about it, and then usually things are okay by 6 o'clock.
That's true. And the stakes for us are not as high as they are in major college football, which is a driving force in all of this. When the stakes are as high as they are on both sides, that makes these things much, much more likely. All right, let's get to something everybody can agree on, right? Phil Steele. Hey, all right, Phil Steele.
The man, not the today. Myth, the mustache.
Yeah, Phil Steele. All yeah. right, where does Phil Steele have K-State?
Very interesting stuff. By the way, for people that hear that it's out and want to go rush to a grocery store, try to find the magazine, it won't be on newsstands until like the end of the month. It's still like 3 weeks away or something like that. He only released the version that's that you can buy on like your iPhone or something like that. But I immediately did it because I couldn't wait any longer. I wanted to see where he had K-State. And there are some areas that he is very high on the Wildcats, some areas that he is surprisingly low, and some areas where there's just some contradiction. So the main gist of it is that he's got K-State as the 24th best team in the country. He's got K-State finishing in a tie for third in the Big 12 behind Oklahoma and Oklahoma State and tied with both TCU and Texas. So five teams there that – or I guess you could say four other teams that are as good or better than K-State in the Big 12. So a little bit more of a hater than a baller in that capacity. He's also – in some ways, he compliments Jesse Ertz, says that he's the 30th best quarterback in the country. He also says that K-State is going to have the eighth most improved pass offense in the country. But then he in the same article, lists K-State's quarterback position as the seventh best in the Big 12 out of 10, obviously, and wide receivers ninth out of 10. So in some cases, he's not as high, but as far as the bowl outlook, I don't think K-State fans are going to like this very much. Cactus Bowl against Utah is what he's got.
He's definitely on the lower end of what I would consider a normal range of what you're going to expect to see preseason-wise for K-State. The individual unit rankings, you know, we can go in more in-depth with this. Wanted to save some of this for next week in part because looks like we're going to get Phil Steele next week. But I think with some of the unit rankings, we see it differently because we're close to it. We are not as removed from it and taking as much of an aerial view of the entire conference. It's hard to separate yourself from it when you're this close to the program inside. And we are basing a lot more of this just based on we have a different set of expectations for some of these guys, Byron Pringle, Carlos Strickland, because, for instance, with Carlos Strickland, a guy with his pedigree does not often come here to K-State, so he sticks out more when he comes in. We get more excited about him than he would register on the scale of excitement to just a neutral observer to the conference. Therefore, our expectations are raised higher for a guy like him in the wide receiver core, just as an example, than they would be to someone like Phil Steele, who's evaluating a conference full of Carlos Stricklands at Texas, Oklahoma, TCU, Oklahoma State, whatever it may be. So I think that's part of how we get crosswise with what our perception of the talent level is compared to the rest of the Big 12 conference. Now, I'm not saying that at the end of the year Phil Steele's rankings won't look a bit silly, because I think they may, just based on what I'm seeing there initially. But there is, I think, more of a reasoning for Phil Steele to have that perception and rank them like he does. I would just stand up for Phil Steele a bit in that regard as of right now.
And I would add in there that that even if he seems a little bit down on K-State, I think that it's not quite as much to do with him not believing in K-State as much as it is he thinks that this is going to be a good year for the Big 12. He really likes what Oklahoma has. Now, again, this all went to publish before the Bob Stoops news, so maybe that changes it up a little bit, but he loves Oklahoma State's offense, as everybody does. So maybe it's not quite as disrespectful to K-State as it is him just acknowledging that at the top of the league, the Big 12 should be pretty solid this year.
Match game 525. When we come back, we'll be joined by Topeka Capital Journal columnist Kevin Haskin. He heard from Steiner on the Sutton Saga last night. Plus, is there legit beef for K-State fans with Bob Stoops for raiding that 1998 staff? He was covering the team back then. I want to get his take on that when we come back.